Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
At the UPS Store, we have everything to help small business owners be unstoppable. So if you need shredding, we'll be the shredding store.
Shredding? So you're saying you can make things disappear? Okay, but really, yeah, my Magician's Academy has a lot of paperwork I need shredded.
We can help small business owners protect and manage their sensitive documents. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Shredding services and bins are provided by Iron Mountain on an as-is basis. Most locations are independently owned. Visit theupsstore.com/shredding for full details. Hurry in today and get shredded.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast with Justin Labar, Jonathan Hood with you. Justin, The Rock, and Cody Rhodes. What a Monday night spectacle.
This was a spectacle. It is a segment we will be talking about for years.
How about Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley? These two women have a great story to tell, don't they?
Great story to tell. Polar opposites, but that can make a lot of money here.
What's really going on with Seth Rollins and his star power in WWE?
We'll pull it back and try to see if we can figure out exactly what is the deal with Seth Rollins and his position in the company.
Enjoy the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. Happy Easter.
So we start here at Monday Night Raw. It was in an A-town, by the way, Monday Night Raw, in my hometown of Chicago, Illinois. Yes, Cody Rhodes and The Rock had their face-to-face, and the electricity of the two looks like the feud of the year this, at this point in time. I mean, it is amazing to watch these two. They're not even in a singles match, but the money is in these two, isn't it? Cody and The Rock, the money is in these two.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying it for months. I've been 2 months, Jonathan. It should just straight up be these two. This is where the feud is. This is where the emotion is. This is where it's at. I don't need Seth Rollins. I don't even need our tribal chief. Let him rest until night two.
Yes. It makes you wonder, is this the way Triple H wanted it? Because he wanted to have what I think the two best talkers in WWE is in The Rock being able to say what he wants and Cody being able to really open up and show a different dynamic than what we've seen before. You think about Cody, the sympathetic babyface attacked by The Rock, and Cody was whipped. He was beaten up. He was bleeding. What we saw was something very, very special. And I know that everyone wants to run, oh, it's the Attitude Era. It's back. Let's just talk about the story before we run into talking about how what we saw on Monday Night Raw is 1998. Before we get there, Justin, we should talk about how special this segment was, how special it was to be able to see this on Monday Night Raw. It wasn't about 360-degree flips. It wasn't about five-star matches. It wasn't about goofy or shoot promos or trying to shoot on one another. It wasn't about that. It was a special moment that we have not seen since the 80s, have not seen definitely since the 90s in WWE. What this is it just adds to what is going to be two incredible nights of WrestleMania. And I just think it's one thing to just have two guys going back and forth and talk about, I'm going to beat you up, no, I'm going to beat you up and all that. What you saw is something special, and this is why I've never been tired of this whole Bloodline story, because as you flip through the chapters, page after page, it's always something. It's always something interesting, always something intriguing, always something to think about. What we saw is something special. Before we say, oh, the whole organization, the whole territory's changed now. We're going, what we said is just isolated and special, and we should really take heed in that.
Absolutely. You're right. It was not a let me scream at the camera and tell you on Sunday here's why I'm going. You know, I mean it had a level of real that level of authentic that was undeniable. And I'm not about to, as you said, I'm not about to proclaim the whole territories all of a sudden gone back 25 years ago and we're in the Attitude Era. No, we're in an era right now. It'll be named later on. Let's just enjoy it. We'll you know, pundits like us will name it 5-10 years down the road when we look back. Because we will be looking back. Because that segment, Jonathan, was a segment that we will be talking about for years. There's a couple segments on Raw that we'll be talking about for years. So that's what made that Raw so special. But I will say this about that segment and just what it was. Pouring down rain as if it was the climax of one of the Rock's movies in a fight scene. Pouring down rain. The level of personal issues, you know, it's become bringing in family legacies, dark promises to mamas, intentional blood. And I'm not talking a ripped hang now. I'm talking the crimson mask. All right. The symbolism of being beat down in front of your own mobile home on the road, being beat down in front of your bus, being rattling your head off the bus where your beloved dog is pictured on the bus. Right. And of course, the language being used. All of that mixed together, Jay Hood, made this the most violent scene in WWE in nearly 20 years. That's what that was. This was the most violent scene WWE has produced in at least 20 years.
There's no question about it. There's no question about it. And we have to enjoy it, though. The one thing we say on this show is that I'm not going to tell you how to fan. You fan how you want to fan. However, I do want to say something about our colleagues, our teammates on Busted Open, Dave LaGreca and Bully Ray from earlier this week. Dave LaGreca said, as I was driving around listening to Busted Open, as I do every day, because if nothing else, if people don't know who Justin LaBarre and Jonathan Hood are, we are members of Busted Open first, before we even got microphones. We were members of Busted Open because we are listeners of the show, of all the shows, before we had our Sunday show. So this is not us helicoptering in to Fight Nation. We've always been part of Busted Open. Dave says to Bully this week, he says, "You know, I don't understand how come the language was bleeped. How come we couldn't hear wide open what Rock was saying when he was outside in the rain with Cody going back and forth? How come we couldn't give the swear words?" And then Bully says, "You know, the blood was fine for Cody, but I wish I could have saw a little bit more blood." And I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, here's two guys that did not appreciate what we just saw. It's not commonplace to what we saw on Monday. It was so unique, it's so isolated that on Sports Keto list, at some point, there's going to be a top 10 of great moments in Raw, and it's going to be on that list. We have to enjoy what we saw because it was so precious and so isolated. People want to be able to fast forward and say, oh, we're going back now because every segment's going to be like that. No, no, no. Every segment will not be like that. It just shows you how important WrestleMania is and the ramp up to WrestleMania that you were able to see adult language and blood and a beatdown like we haven't seen in years. So, again, it's about appreciating what we saw. Under Vince, none of this would have happened like this. Absolutely not. But under Triple H and TKO, they say, okay, we know tickets are sold. We know people are going to watch WrestleMania, but let's turn the heat up even more so to really make Cody a sympathetic babyface. Let's turn the heat up to really push Rock out there to a monster heel. Not Memphis Rock. The Rock that we know that could be a monster heel, along with Roman Reigns, along with the bloodline. So it was, the blood was fine. I didn't need more blood. And I didn't need to be able to hear, you know, the Rock swearing every third word. But you know why? Because if I need to see that, I'll go to his social media. So you still have to understand that what we saw is special as is. I wouldn't have changed a thing because now that brings even more people under the tent to say, but Cody got busted open in the rain in Chicago. And The Rock, the guy that's run the UFL, the guy that's been in movies, is a monster heel. I appreciate what I saw there on Monday. I wouldn't change a thing.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, and before we get to The Rock social media, we'll table that and we'll get to that in a second here. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Because here, we have to remember, too, while I appreciate this is the most violent scene they've produced in two decades. And while I appreciate that, and while I appreciate them speaking a little bit more to the grown-up table here with how they did things, it is still a show. Cody's fan base is still made up somewhat of youth. And so it's still acceptable for them to view it by, I guess, most standards and practices. But we censor the bad words. Mm-hmm. We could have done more blood. Sure, you can always have more blood, right? But that was just enough to get the point across so that the youth, the ones who are going to be cheering for him the loudest come night one and night two of WrestleMania, in person at the link or at home in front of their television screens, they now feel this sadness and this anger because they see their hero bloodied up and beaten down. And they didn't necessarily have to hear the exact words being said, even just the beeping, even just the drop of the audio briefly for the censor, that has effect. You think you know what you think you know what The Rock just said. They just bleep, but what? Yes. I mean, it has effect. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's that old sometimes just that little bit that you don't see where we make you use your imagination is even scarier and more menacing than what they could produce. Right? It's like the old Jaws effect.
Yes.
Sometimes your imagination can be just a little bit more than what they could ever put out there. So I thought that mindset to the youth. I agree with you. I think there was everything about that segment was perfect.
It's cinema. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing cinema. That's what it was, Justin. That's exactly what it was. I sent you something that was part of my youth earlier this week about Dusty Rhodes, right? Dusty Rhodes being attacked by the Horsemen outside of, I believe, the Charlotte NWA offices. I think that's where that took place. You saw that, right? Did you watch the entire thing?
So
there's Dusty Rhodes there, and he's being attacked by the Horsemen, and they tie his arms up to a truck, and they break his arm. And Dusty says, make it good. If you're going to break my arm, make it good, baby. Make it good. And so what you did not hear is the swearing because it was bleeped out. And they also did not want you to see the mangled arm, or it's supposed to be the mangled arm of Dusty Rhodes, because there's a big black spot there, so you wouldn't see it, right? But the point is, though, is that when I see Cody Rhodes, I can't help but to think about his dad. I can't help it. I can't help but to think about Dusty Rhodes in all these situations, whether it's Dusty against Terry Funk and Dusty being attacked from behind by Terry, or Ole Anderson, or Tully Blanchard, or all these, or down in Florida, from Charlotte to Texas, everywhere that Dusty wrestled, Dusty was a sympathetic babyface because he was the everyman. And so Cody has refined that as a guy that's wearing a three-piece suit, but he's still with you, the fan. He still understands because at his core, he's a wrestling fan. And he also wants to be able to finish his story and be the heavyweight champion that his dad was not in WWE. When I watch Cody, and Triple H said this, I think, not too long ago as well. He goes, I can't help it. I see Dusty and I see his mind rolling. I see the attraction that he is to wrestling fans. Every time I see Cody, I see Dusty. And I totally get that.
Yeah, and what's beautiful to think about, and I'm sure in the future we will get a WWE Network documentary with the entire behind-the-scenes saga that this whole build-a-mania has been, from the, okay, we're going to do Rock and Roman, to, okay, we're calling the audible. I'm sure that, you know, we know there are several cameras constantly rolling behind the scenes, following The Rock and following this situation. So one day we're going to get a great documentary. And I can't wait to hear Cody and The Rock sitting down, talking to the producers of the documentary and talking about producing this particular segment that we're talking about here from Raw. But what I assume we will find out, to your point, Jay Hood, is that, of course, Cody has something like this in mind that we saw his father, you know, a very famous segment that you're referencing. And what's great is, you know, that Cody felt that, you know, that The Rock is very familiar. Growing up in the business, The Rock is a student of the business, of the game. You know that Cody can speak to The Rock and they can collaborate in this same way of, hey, I got an idea. Remember when, you know, like that's what's great about this is, you know, you got two guys who grew up in the business. You know, they're about 15 years apart in age, yes, but they still grew up same situation. And that's what's so fun to think about is the behind the scenes conversations or text of, hey, this is how we're going to do this. This is how we're going to, I mean, and that's, you know, as lifelong wrestling fans for you and I, that's just fun. Cause you know, here you got already one of the best ever in The Rock, already Hall of Famer, Mount Rushmore, Hollywood King, whatever you want to call him. He's already done all of it. You know, now he's just on a fun retirement, leisurely tour.
Yeah.
He's done it all. And then Cody, who's working his way through to what will be a Hall of Fame career. That's what's so fun, is to think about just them having a lot of fun behind the scenes, putting this together and just making it, again, feels, I go back to that word, authentic. Just feels so, I mean, you can't be denied. This is a good test. You know, we talk about the, you know, can you bring the wife in the room? Can you bring your neighbor in the room? And can they understand? Can you not feel embarrassed? This is a good one for the neighbor to come in. Hey, pal, grab a cold one, sit and watch this.
Yeah, right.
don't need. There's not a lot of explanation needed. You watch that. You figured out who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, and oh, shit's got personal.
I mean, we've gotten so used to complaining about, especially when we find out behind the scenes that scripts were torn up 2 hours before Raw or before SmackDown, and it was completely changed, and what you thought you saw one week, it changed the other week. I can understand the complaints during that time, but during this time, I think that we could stop the complaining at this particular time, because it's a new era in the WWE. When you see what you saw there, and by the way, after this WrestleMania, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get the adult language or the blood or a beatdown like we saw. I just think that at this time, it's very unique. If you think that Cody Rhodes is worthy of being the heavyweight champion or the universal champion, I mean, if you weren't sure before, you should be sure now that he is a guy that would look great as a universal champion, because look at how much time they're putting into the story. Look how much time that was put into just The Rock being able to spend this much time with Cody. Cody, that sympathetic babyface attacked by The Rock like we've never seen before. They turned the clock back. You know, Justin, what I saw on Monday night was commonplace when I was a kid. This was commonplace, right? Well, you know what? If you want to get sympathetic a feeling on the baby face, then you got to bust him open, and you got to put him in a situation where he's in peril, and you got to put him in a situation where fans want to jump the rail and help him. That's what I grew up with. And so I'm sure that people in Chicago, by the way, perfect rain. I ordered the rain for Monday night. The rain came just in time, 11 o'clock Eastern.
I was going to ask.
And that made it.
I was going to ask, did you pull out the DoorDash and order that rain, or is Paul Levesque that good of a booker that he's like, you know, this could have been a go home segment, but no, he said no, March 25th, no. We got some rain coming in about 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah,
let's do it there.
I ordered the rain for it, and by the way, as perfect as that was, a little nuance, Justin, a little nuance. You saw that Cody was trying to fight his way through the bloodline. Solo Sikoa gets knocked down, and then, of course, The Rock just comes right in. The funny part of it is Solo Sikoa on the ground, seeing that The Rock's there, and he stops, drops, and rolls, just like kids in the classroom. If you go back and watch, Solo looks up and goes, well, my part's over, and he just rolls out of the scene. Like, you don't see him anymore. Like, because you would think, hey, Solo's there. He could double team with Rock to beat up no, I'm good. I'm done. Nope. I'll just roll out.
Time to exit stage left. Whoop!
It's like a little kid. He just kind of just rolled out of the scene. That's just like, well, how come the rest of the bloodline? No, because it's The Rock's time. Oh, man. How many times have I been through those doors? And by the way, for those that are not familiar with the Allstate Arena, I've been there 100 times. There could have been a scenario where The Rock could have just thrown Cody over the top. Now, when they had him against that concrete slab, on the other side is like a garage or like the driveway. And it's a long fall, by the way. I mean, if you want to do something crazy, he could have thrown him over the top. What is that, about a 15-foot fall, 20-foot fall? Now, of course, it was dark, so it was not lit like the trucks were lit, where you could see the shiny face of Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, that truck. Yeah.
You were going. I was going to say,
yeah,
you know, WWE is really big in Easter eggs. What's in the background often matters. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. That truck that was lit beyond that rampway, it was Austin and Cena on that truck. Almost like they were just hovering over watching. I don't know if that's foreshadowing. I don't know, you know, what that means, but I know I'm not the only one that took notice of that. Mm-hmm. Another thing I sent you. You know, you sent me the classic Dusty, and I sent you and Susumu. You know, The Rock continued. He continued his trend of, you're going to get what you get on WWE programming on USA or Fox, but then The Rock's got a director's cut version.
Yes.
And the past has been a promo. This was like, literally, it was like the director's cut on the DVD of the action scene.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who didn't see it, check it out, but I'll just describe you right now. So you see from The Rock's own personal social media filming, off to the side, about 90 degrees direction from the USA cameras. Raw goes off the air, and then you hear a producer yell, "We're clear," and The Rock's just screaming, "F that. We're just because the show's over. You think The Rock's over?" I mean, the extended version continues. They go off the air, you know, I mean, like, and look, what a maneuver this is. This is just brilliant. You know, even while breaking some of the fourth wall, as we hear producers yelling at him, like, you know, time cues and we're done. And we see camera people and we see lights and we see grips and there's somebody underneath the canopy trying to block the rain. it still kept feeling real.
Yep.
Even though I was seeing the behind the scenes people, and again, that fourth wall was proverbially broken down, it did not take me out of it. When I watched this clip that he posted, I felt as in it as I felt. I mean, like, it was like, here's an action scene being filmed. We yell cut, but the bad guy screaming to the director, screw you, I actually want to beat this son of a bitch a little bit more.
Yeah, no.
What? What? The screw Rock you, Street. I can't get arrested for assault because I'm acting.
Yes.
just keep putting the boots. Like, what?
The Rock says, F your script. That's what he said on it, wide open for everyone to hear. F your script. Like, I mean, come on, man. And that's why it was fine for what we saw on the USA Network, because we get these director's cuts or we get the raw feed from The Rock's social media. See, that's the reason why that this is cool, is because, hey, man, we understand that kids are watching, so we only go to a certain level. But if you want to see the real, here it is. You know where to find it. And every wrestling fan knows where to find it. So when you sent me that, I was tripping out. Like, did he say F your script and just kept going with the belt? Just kept going until he just finally was done and just walked away. I mean, Cody Rhodes is face first into the rain. And when the director says cut, he's trying to get up like, okay, thank God this is over. Oh, no, no, no. We're not done. Back into the water. Back into the... I mean, Cody had to be like, come on, man.
And what's great, if you go back and watch this again, as The Rock finally is done beating down Cody and he starts to walk away, he's mm-hmm. walking straight, he's walking alongside the bus. And all the people that were behind the scenes, all the tech people for Raw were behind the scenes, start to then move forward, almost like to go to, like, check on Cody, help him up, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a producer. I don't know who he is. I don't recognize his face. But there's a producer. He's in a lighter color dress shirt. He's got a headset on. And I don't think he's acting, because he's not. I don't even think he knows that he's still in frame and on camera, because, like I said, the camera's just panning, walk with Rock. But you can see his face, and he looks like scared and has this what the hell look on his face.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, to me, it felt like Rock didn't smarten everybody up on, hey guys, when you go off the air, I got this social camera, media camera, it's going to keep going. Like, that felt like The Rock just felt it in the moment and kept doing it.
Yes.
Knows he has a social media team filming, and everybody else was just like, you know, yeah. I'd imagine Triple H was probably somewhere to one of them on the headset, like, just keep it going, guys. Just follow him. Mm-hmm. Just play along. Keep going.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. There's over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. You can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. It's the best thing when I'm looking out for my nutrition and my dietary needs. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code busted50 to get 50% off. That's code busted50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off.
Hey friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're talking about the women's division as well with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Of course, you know, Becky Lynch has a book out, Not Your Average Girl, that's available now in bookstores. I got a chance to talk to Rhea Ripley, got a chance to speak to Becky Lynch with her new book that's out. And it was on my wrestling podcast, Good Karma Wrestling, available wherever you get your podcast, Good Karma Wrestling. So Becky Lynch was talking about her matchup against Rhea Ripley and pretty much said, hey, people are counting me out. Let's listen.
What I'm loving about this is that there are a lot of people doubting me right now. There's a lot of people doubting, oh, Rhea's on this run, Rhea's going to take it. We're forgetting who's doing all the groundwork. We're forgetting who's been doing all the groundwork, who's been hiding in plain sight, elevating everybody to the top of their game, delivering, to quote another Irishman, banger after banger after banger after banger, and keeping everything afloat. You know, like, Rhea's been hovering around doing little backstages. I've been putting in the hard work week in, week out, grinding, grafting. And I'm at the top of my game now. But I love it when people doubt me, because I said it in a promo. When people believe in me, I'm good. But when people doubt me, I am great. And that is true. And you can read all about it in my book.
So thoughts there from Becky Lynch on Good Karma Wrestling this past Thursday with us. And so she had a number of things to say. One thing that she did say, I want you to kind of react to, Justin, is Becky Lynch said, when I asked her, I said, you've done so many things in the business. You've been the champion. You're a mom now. You're a wife. You've traveled the world. I said, Becky, is there anything else in wrestling that you want to accomplish that you have not? She says, no, I have nothing else I want to accomplish. But the one thing I do want to do is I want to continue to tell stories. Now, you think about that just for a second on its face, where she just says, you know, I have nothing else I really need to accomplish. I've been the champion of WWE. I've been able to travel. I've met my husband in the business. I have my baby. And no, I just want to tell more stories. That's such a rare quote, because you ask any average wrestler, yeah, I want to go to this company and I want to be at the top of this company, or I want to travel in New Japan, or I want to travel the world because I've done it here in North America. Becky Lynch says, nah, I'm good with everything. I just want to continue to tell the best stories I can. Very rare to hear that answer, is it not?
It is very rare. You're absolutely correct on that. It's rare. You normally don't. Yeah, you're right. You don't. That's a statement of honesty that is normally not given until after the fact, until she's retired and they're doing the documentary on her career. Maybe then she goes, yeah, you know, looking back at that Bill Daria, I'd already done everything I wanted to do. But she's being honest, but she's not being honest, and she's being honest, but she's still promoting the match, right? She's still keeping you interested. You know, that last line that she gave you about, you know, when people doubt her, you know, she's great. And, you know, I mean, she's still building the match. You know, I know she's done some other, I've heard some other quotes that have come around of her, kind of ripping Rhea on some of the things that Rhea does. And look, I commend, you know, Becky's, I think she's, according to the internet, if it's right, you know, she's 37. So, you know, at 37, she is a comp. I mean, what a career. You're right. I mean, there's really nothing else to do. I mean, she's had all the accolades. I mean, she's got a book out in her career. I mean, again, she's a surefire Hall of Famer one day. So she's done everything that there is to do. I'm interested in this match, of course. You know, I'm a huge Rhea Ripley fan. I'm interested in the match. I think this is, you know, as she talks about that she's out there elevating people, you know, Rhea Ripley's already established herself as who she is. As in my, like I said, in my mind, I think, you know, she's the top woman in the division, and she's one of the most interesting performers out there in the business today. Mm-hmm. I do still think, all that said, for what Rhea has established, Becky still has the opportunity here to elevate Rhea. Rhea can go even higher. And I like hearing these words from Becky, because it gets me excited, because I don't think Becky's going to win. I am doubting you, Becky. I think Rhea's going to walk out as champion. She's going to walk in as champion. She's going to walk out as champion.
Yes.
And I'll be here on Busted Open to celebrate it all. But I do think there's room. There's still room. That we're not at the ceiling yet. There's room for Becky to help elevate Rhea even more, because Rhea has not accomplished all that Becky has accomplished. So there's still room here. So I'm intrigued by this.
We're talking about Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch on the Sunday edition of Busted Open with Justin Labar, Jonathan Hood with you. I'm taking a look at the matches that that Rhea Ripley's had as the mm-hmm. champion, and, you know, taking on Ivy Nile and dark matches, and a triple dirt match with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley involved in that, and she's been around the horn with Nia Jax several times. She's been in a lot of triple threats, by the way, on the road. And... you know, again, there's an Natalya and Shayna Baszler match where Rhea Ripley was involved in New Hampshire just recently. You know, I'm looking at this, and you talk about trying to keep champions special, Justin. This is the era of WWE where it's like, we know that she's a champion. She doesn't have to work every single night. We just know that her promo ability and her on Instagram, the way she looks. As a matter of fact, she made that comment about pretty much talking about her body. It's talking about her backside. I mean, that kind of thing. I mean, it was something that Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch was talking about in their promo. And Ripley knows that she is somewhat a sex symbol and also a great wrestler. She's got Dom with her. So it's interesting, the dynamic of Rhea Ripley, how she's really developed as this character that guys love her and women want to be her in a lot of ways because of her dominance. And then Becky Lynch is on the other side, the mom, the crusader, the person that wants to continue to battle, and she'll fight anybody. The two is very interesting juxtaposition.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought that up, because, and I don't know, you know, we are pressed on time to WrestleMania. We're less than a week away, mm-hmm. but it's very interesting you said that. So, everybody check out the full interview that Jay Hood did with Becky on Good Karma Wrestling. I also know Becky had another, I saw another clip, and I forget who it's from, so I apologize. But, you know, she was saying, you know, how that Rhea's gone viral, and most recently, you know, she did, like, the stink face. She hiked up her tights and did, like, a stink face, I believe it was Tanaya, yes, Jax at a house show. And Becky really slammed that and, you know, kind of said, like, you know, If I got a little girl in the audience, is that what the little girl is supposed to be led to believe? That's what it takes to be a woman superstar in WWE. Is that what it takes to get a reaction? You know, it kind of puts, you know, casts aside the craft, the hard work of the art for wrestling. You know, and Cindy, you hear her say that, and then Rhea over here, Rhea just did Logan Paul's podcast, and she's talking about how her nipples are pierced, and she wrestles with her nipples pierced. And, you know, she leans into her, as you said, her body and the sex symbol and her everything. It, you know what it reminds me of, as we just did our this match, or this day in history, mm-hmm. it reminds me of a Shawn and Brett kind of thing. It reminds me, you know, Becky is the Brett in this case of, you know, the craft of wrestling. Don't disrespect what, you know, we've worked hard to get this division to this point. And then you got the DX, the brash, I don't care, sex symbol of Rhea playing the Shawn Michaels end of it. It is a very, you know, is a very, very good clash of dynamics. You know, like I said, I don't know. You know, we only have one more Raw before Mania, so one more, you know, potential promo exchange between the two. So they could lean more into that if they want. All of what we're saying here is all being done outside of Monday Night Raw. It's all being done in the podcast world, but it is a very interesting dynamic here between these two.
It is. I'm just looking at Dom, and I'm just like, I just think about him just on the side watching all this. And of course, he took the a fist right to the face, and then took that took that punch from Becky Lynch. I was thinking about that moment; it was just amazing. But it is a difference between the two, and I don't know if people really are reading into it because they see the dominance of Rhea Ripley. But I mean, it's Becky Lynch telling that story, pretty much. Like Rhea Ripley was pretty much sneering, not laughing, but sneering when Becky Lynch said, "Hey, you know, my dad never got a chance to see my daughter." It wasn't like a sympathetic look on Rhea Ripley's face. It's kind of like, "Yeah, so."
Boo hoo.
"Yeah, I'm going to take a shot at your daughter, too." And then Becky's like, "You can have that one." You recall this, right? It's just kind of, but just like Rhea Ripley's face doesn't change. It's her licking her lips. It's her just staring a hole into somebody, kind of sneering, not laughing, but kind of sneering and then smiling. It's just like, boy, she's sick. But here's the thing. It gets a babyface reaction.
Look. All right, look.
So
look, I'm gonna call it like it, like I see it.
Uh-huh.
Becky's being a little wholesome, mom, wife. Fighting for the craft, fighting for a legacy and history, and doing good for the women's division. She's wholesome. Then we got like, what, we got degenerate mommy over here. Mm-hmm. She's not married. She's got her little thing with Dom, but she's mommy. She does whatever she wants. She'll stink face people in the ring. She doesn't care. So you got wholesome, and then you got, I don't give a.
Yeah.
If you got wholesome versus I don't give a, and we're in Philadelphia. Guess who's going to win out?
Yeah.
Philadelphia is going to be cheering mommy over the man. Short of Rhea bringing an Eagles flag to the ring and lighting it on fire, they are going to be cheering Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just hope all parties involved are prepared for what it's going to be, because that's what it's going to be. Don't try to fight against it.
It's just kind of where it is. That's exactly what it is. You think about those two. It kind of reminds me of Flair Steamboat in a lot of ways. 89, right? Steamboat brought his ex-wife told him to. Steamboat brought his wife and kid and little Ricky to ringside. Like down the aisle to the ring. And people were like, what? Then there's Ric Flair with five blondes. Which one are you rooting for? The guy that looks like a million bucks with a... you know, a great suit and the long blonde hair, and he's got blondes on every arm, or the guy that's dragging his wife and son to the
dragging
ring in
New Orleans.
His wife. I mean, seriously. And so people respected Steamboat as a champion, but then when they saw that, like, oh, Steamboat family, man, it's 1989. Nobody just wants to see that. Guys want to get laid. They don't want to be with their family. In that era, right? Mm-hmm. It was just... It was like it totally backfired on Steamboat because he didn't want to bring his wife and little Ricky to ringside. Like, ugh, nobody cares about that. Give me the guy that's partying. That was Ric Flair, and that's the difference. Ric Flair is supposed to be the heel, but he became the babyface because everybody wanted that, not family.
Mm-hmm. That's a great callback.
And same thing's happening here. Rhea Ripley gets cheered everywhere she goes. But then I've heard many interviews also with Becky saying the same things you're talking about. Like, she's repulsed by Rhea Ripley because she's not wholesome, because she does the opposite of what Becky does. It's pretty good. Pretty good story that's being told.
Talk is Jericho podcast with multiple world champion professional wrestler, lead singer of Fozzy, and New York Times best-selling author Chris Jericho is now on Fight Nation. Don't miss Jericho interview some of the biggest names in wrestling, entertainment, and comedy. Plus, give all of his takes on what's going on in the world of pop culture. Catch the Talk is Jericho podcast every Tuesday and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on your home for combat sports, SiriusXM, Fight Nation, Channel 156.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. there's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, friends, want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Let's talk a little bit about Seth Rollins. When we went through the top four in that tag team match with Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth, that I said that Roman Reigns needs to step up his promos and that he's become fourth out of this four. And then we had Seth Rollins at number three because everything is the focus is on Rock and also on Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins, let's talk about him for a second, because now this week we're saying, yes, what was the most interesting thing about that promo? It was CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. Punk can't do anything about it because he's injured. And Seth is actually the champion. He's the champion taking on Drew McIntyre. So do you think that Seth Rollins is fulfilled? Do you think that as a WWE superstar, do you think he's fulfilled? Because he's been champion several times. And I think I've heard Seth say himself that he's wondering if he's just been the best number two or number three. Have you heard this as well, where he feels like Steamboat to the Ric Flair? He feels like this the second or third best in the company. Like, Seth Rollins is a tremendous wrestler and a tremendous personality. He's gone through a metamorphosis of different iterations of Seth Rollins, but, I mean, he is a star. But yet, Justin, you seem to look at him as less than. And by the way, I'll raise my hand. What was one of my first confessions to you? When Tyler Black was wrestling in Ring of Honor, I go to the merch table, go to the bathroom. I couldn't stand it because I'm like, he's like anything else. He wasn't special to me when he first came on the scene. I told you that. It's like, I was not a Tyler Black fan. But I grew to appreciate what he did because he gets to the WWE, he's part of the Shield, and it's like, okay, this guy actually has become a star. But why is his light as bright, you think, as, say, a Cody or a CM Punk or others to you?
I think, one, in his career, it's always been a little bit of timing. He's been a guy we can count on for the minutes, for the bumps, for the reps. But he's always had somebody that's just a slightly bigger star right there at the top of the company, whether it be Cena, whether it be Roman, whether it be Cody, whether it be Brock, like there's all, or whether it be Daniel Bryan, like he's always been the very, very reliable 1A. You know what I mean? Mm. And the only thing I could say is maybe I've never found in all of his different iterations of Seth Rollins, from Shield to corporate champ to, you know, to all the way to where we are now, I've never found him relatable. I've everybody likes to sing the song, and it's kind of like a fun little guessing game of what's he going to wear this week. And yeah, he's really good in the ring. And, you know, it's a nice story. He's married to, you know, you've met his wife here, and he's married, and they have a daughter, and I think they all travel on the bus. And like, but I don't know, like, That even the personal life stuff kind of gets put aside because that's not really part of the storyline. Like, storyline Seth Rollins, I don't ever find him relatable. He's fun to watch in the ring, but I don't like Cody. Like as we talked about, Cody, like you feel like what Cody's dealing with. Like you, there's a relatability factor. I've never really felt that with Seth. And so I think if you're asking why has he never risen to be like the number one guy, the number one babyface, I guess that would be my answer, would be relatability.
So he doesn't seem like a guy that you want to hang with.
I don't feel like I'm getting. I always feel like I'm getting some manufactured. Here's my gimmick right now. My gimmick is I come out and I'm going to wear this clothes and I have my song. And I had the maniac, you know, when he was doing the Joker thing, I have like my maniacal little force. Like, I don't ever, like, not everything has to be personal life, but as we said, personal sells. I think I would feel more if he told a little bit more of a story of, man, I'm the guy that's been busting my ass in this business for 20 years. I'm on the, you know, I got a wife and a kid and I'm still here on the road. I just brought them on the road with me. That's how dedicated I am to this business. I think if I got a little bit more of that, a little bit more of Colby, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think I'd stand up a little bit more to listen. I feel like he's always playing wrestler.
He's a character.
But it's a character that I can only go so far with. Like I love characters. I love the entertainment side. I love character, but I can only go so far with it. It's not a character that like I'm going to root for the same way I'm going to root for Cody Rhodes. You know, that's if I had to peel it all back, I guess that's the diagnosis of my my Seth Rollins.
Social media headline: Justin LaBar calls Seth Rollins Dalton Castle. 877-344-4893. That's what you just did. Tell me you didn't.
I've been beat up many times by the Party Peacock, so I don't know where to go with that.
I'm just saying, like that's pretty much what you just told me. Like I don't know who Dalton Castle is outside of the boys and that character, right?
He's a Party Peacock.
Yeah, and what else? Right, same thing. And so Seth Rollins, there has been glimpses of what you're talking about from Seth Rollins. Glimpses, though. When he don't have the laugh, when he's not smiling, when he's not talking about how he's a visionary and all that stuff. I know you got to hit all your key points and all the things that you say to build your personality. But maybe post-Vince, maybe we get a chance to see Colby Lopez. Maybe we will. I mean, I guess I will just tell you that, like, I wasn't a big fan when he first came on the scene. I respect what he's been able to do. But how many times have we talked already in WrestleMania season of like, yeah, you know, kind of an afterthought match because Drew's going to win. Yeah, he might get injured in the tag team match. Or why does he belong with all this? Why does he belong? Why in Vegas where it was all this battling between Cody and the Bloodline? And then Seth Rollins wasn't even a pitcher. He was over there. It was called, what was he called? The NIT or like the... You know, the B champion or the whatever it was, right? Like The Rock was and the Roman Reigns were talking about Seth Rollins, like that's not even a real championship.
He was told you sit at table two. Your number twos are over there.
Yeah, the number two table. Yeah. So, like, I just wonder when Seth Rollins will get his full respect. Maybe he does in some instances, but I understand the point. But besides the outfits. Besides the big oversized sunglasses and the moon boots and all that, what do we have here? Who is he?
Yeah. And not to be lost on, I mean, he's had a great career from accolade standpoint. I mean, the Shield is one of the most memorable debuts and memorable factions in modern history. You know, cashing in at WrestleMania 31 the way he did, he's a great worker. And he's really held it down. I know you say he's your champion. He's really held it down in this era where Roman is heavily protected in terms of matches. Mm-hmm. So not to be lost on, you know, what he's done. But again, if you're asking me again, like I said, I feel like there's that ceiling that he's not. There's still a ceiling that he has not broke through to that next level elite status. And that's where I think, you know, I think that's probably why I was so excited when Punk came back and it felt so. Palpable the disdain that Seth had that Punk was back. So it's like, okay, I'm not getting maniacal little Joker laughing funny wardrobe. I'm getting the man is actually pissed off of this guy's back, and there's issues there. I think that's what that was so interesting, because it felt like a departure from most of what I get otherwise with the Seth Rollins character.
Mark this conversation, Justin Labar. Mark this conversation. Are you really going to be friends and tagging up with a guy that beat you three times? You're really going to do that and just continue to just be this goofy baby face? At some point, you get tired of having your dick knocked in the dirt by the same guy. Just saying, like, you get beat three times by Cody Rhodes. Like, no, I'll be your shield. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying this happens at WrestleMania, but this could happen very soon, where maybe you get what you're looking for. Maybe the laughs and that whole smiley thing and those outfits he wears, maybe that goes away. Maybe you start to get the real guy now. Again, I respect him as a champion, as I've told you. Like, that's the champion, because he's been the workhorse champion. But maybe at some point it's like, oh, the guy that beat me three times? The guy had a torn pec and he beat me in Chicago? Yeah. Yeah, I'm done.
I'm here for it.
Yep.
I'm here for that. I'm here for if he wants to make a radical turn here soon, or if they want to, you know, beat him / injure him and let him go away to rest up. He certainly has deserved the rest. Let him go home. Let him watch the Chicago Bears draft Caleb Williams, take some time off, come back with a fresh coat of paint when it's time. Come back with a little bit more sinister Seth Rollins.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
We see the potential in Kelly Twitchell, co-founder of Access Tracks.
When you made something invaluable, it fuels you to keep making a better impact with your business.
That's why we're here, to help make it happen. JPMorgan Chase.
Real customers compensated. JPMorgan Chase Bank. Member FDIC.